I think it is a real joy, privilege, and an honor to be able to be here another Monday afternoon. We're thankful for the Lord's precious love. We appreciate Him, His wisdom, His understanding, His kindness, His mercy, His goodness, and His great grace. If it weren't for the Lord's great mercy, we'd all be consumed. But I'm thankful that the Lord, the Bible said, that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, His compassions never fail. He's the God of all grace and all mercy. If it weren't for the Lord Jesus, who took our place at Calvary, died the death of a sinner, yet He knew no sin, but He became sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The only reason I've been justified in the sight of God Almighty is because of what Jesus done for me when He forgave me all of my sins. He made me a brand new creature, put His divine spirit in my heart, and I've never been the same. 38 years ago, something miraculous and wonderful happened to me. Unworthy as I am, thank God I am what little bit I am, only by the grace of God, but I experienced a new birth. My sins were forgiven, placed under the blood of Jesus. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be blotted out, and I have the free gift of eternal life, and I'll never perish because of what He's done for me. I'm unworthy, but He's worthy, and He's made me worthy through His blood. And I am what little bit I am, only by the grace of God. Not even me living, but Christ living in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who saved me, washed me, and cleansed me in His own blood. And I hope that you'll get to heaven. If you've never experienced the new birth, I'm not talking about some type of emotional experience and some type of a ceremony that you went through, some ritual, maybe even a case of the do-betters, turning over a new leaf, joining up with a church, putting your name on the church roll, even being baptized in the watery grave, beloved. That'll never get you to heaven. Jesus said you've got to be born again. That's the second time. You had the first birth. That was an earthly birth. Now you've got to have a spiritual birth, a divine birth. That's the Lord from heaven. You've got to have your sin forgiven. He's got to get born in you. The Spirit of God's got to be born in your heart. And He's not going to make you. He'll encourage you. He'll invite you. And He'll speak to you and deal with you and draw you with cords of love. Give an invitation. But, beloved, to accept this invitation is up to you. God will give us an opportunity to believe and receive or reject His blessed word. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He gives love, always gives one a choice. And God so loved the world, He gave of Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, who bled, suffered and died at Calvary to ransom us and redeem us from our fallen state. And I'm glad that He saved me, had mercy upon me as a young man void of understanding, blinded by the god of this world. I'm glad that something happened to me 38 wonderful years ago I never got over. I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be saved. Saved from sin. Salvation of the soul. Thank God I'm glad He's alive in my heart. That is the heart of my soul, where He lives, rules, and reigns, and He, beloved, He's precious to me, and I appreciate Him making Himself known to my heart and forgiving me all my sins. If you're not saved this afternoon, I hope that you will be. And I'll say again, I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to help you. But most people have a salvation of the mind and an empty heart. They've never received the Lord Jesus into their life, into their heart. He's never transformed them and changed them. Only thing they've had is some type of emotional experience, and somebody tried to coach them and talk them into what little they got, which amounts to nothing. If you've got, only thing you've got is a mind salvation and a lip service and an empty heart. And beloved, you're going to wind up dying alienated and separated from God Almighty. And when it's over, you'll wind up lifting up your eyes in a burning place of eternal torment and damnation, where the fire is never going to go out, where the worm is never going to die, and the smoke of the torment of a second death will ascend up ever and ever, and there'll be no rest day nor night. I don't want you to miss heaven. You don't have to miss heaven. Jesus died the death of a sinner. He that knew no sin became sin, you and I. We might be made the righteousness of God in Him. If you become righteous, if you get justified in the sight of God Almighty, it'll take the sacrificial death, the blood that Jesus shed at Calvary. Beloved, is the only thing that can make an atonement for your sins. It took a spotless, perfect sacrifice, and of course that was Jesus, Lamb without spot and Lamb without blemish. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, He was in the very beginning. He purposed with God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, to take of His bitter cup at Calvary. God foreseeing what would take place and prophesied all down to the age, even since the beginning of time in the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. You can find out when man fell to sin, and Adam and Eve, of course, was in the transgression. She was deceived by Satan, who came in the form of a serpent, the most susceptible of all the beasts of the field, and beguiled her and deceived her, and Adam loved her so much, he went on and partaken of the forbidden fruit. And, of course, death came upon all mankind because
Adam's sin. Their eyes were open. They realized they was naked before God Almighty, beloved, and they were separated. God had to make an atonement and shed the blood of a little old lamb there, signifying that one day a lamb would have to come. That is God's lamb, God's sacrifice, shed his blood at Calvary, bring redemption. And of course, the gospel was preached in the very beginning in the book of Genesis. It said, he said to them, said, there'll come a seed that'll bruise the serpent's head, a conquering seed. In other words, that reclaim, reconcile back to God Almighty, mankind, and his depraved, fallen state, his fallen nature would have to reconcile him back to God, and to be a conquering seed, the promise of the Messiah that would come, and the Savior of all mankind, and on down through the ages, the gospel was handed down and preached, and they look forward to a Messiah coming. And of course, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God's Lamb, God's sacrifice. He's the Savior of all mankind. And all the prophets prophesied about him. They prophesied Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53. They prophesied about his crucifixion, about his vices being marred more than the sons of men, about all the suffering he have, and being numbered among the transgressors, among two thieves, and talked about how did he have to suffer, of course, and many things of it. Psalmist David, Psalm 22, read it for yourself. And he talked about how he'd be bruised and battered, and how the bulls of Bashan and the dogs would encompass him round about. And of course, Zechariah told about him being sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And of course, Isaiah prophesied about the Messiah that would come and be born of a virgin. And of course, born in Bethlehem of Judea. Many of the prophets of old prophesied about him. Those that had insight concerning, that were spiritual Christian, had meaning Christian, they knew about the revelation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, John the Baptist on the River of Jordan, and he looked up and he seen him. He said, behold the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world. That's what he done. Beloved, when he died at Calvary, he said the sin there, the conquering seed that would promise in the very beginning came. He knew no sin. Neither was a guile found in his mouth. Before ordained, before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created, God Almighty knew what would take place. Now, love, he didn't foreordain so far as predestinate anybody or predetermine for anybody to go to hell. He just knows all things. Love, nothing takes God by surprise. God wants the world to get saved. God wants the world to go to heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. The world was condemned already, beloved. They were already condemned because of sin in their lives, and because of fallen and a depraved, dynamic nature, beloved. Man was in sin and conquered by sin and ruled by the evil force of Satan himself, the godless world, and he blinded the minds, the unregenerate, beloved. But God foreordained before the foundation of the world, made provision, knowing what would take place, and provided a sacrificial lamb. That anybody that just believe on him, receive him as their personal Savior, beloved. We're not talking tongue in cheek, we're talking about in heart. I remember when I got saved, beloved. I didn't hardly know anything about the Bible at all, but I knew the Bible's about, and God let a man of God preach to me. It brought conviction brought conversion. Beloved, I died to old Gerald. I died to myself. I crucified this old flesh. I'd had enough of it. I was ashamed of myself and of my sins, and out of my heart. My mouth didn't say anything, but my heart was doing all the speaking. The psalmist said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard his cry and delivered him out of all his troubles. Beloved, I called on him with a broke heart and a contrite spirit. And I want to tell you something. When I did, he heard my cry, beloved, and delivered me out of all my troubles. He forgave me all my sins, thank God, and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, thank God, and there I'm with all the children of God. I'm in the body of Christ, and I have been for 38 wonderful years. I'm unworthy. I should have went to hell, but God looked past all my faults and saw my needs, beloved, and helped me when I couldn't help myself. Now I'm a saved Baptist, beloved. Most Baptists need to get saved. I'm not boasting anybody's denomination, organization, affiliation. Beloved, there's not but one body. That's the body of Christ, and I'm in that body. I'm a little bitty member in that body. Not much of anything, but I'm in the body, thank God, of Christ by the grace of God. I am a little bit I am only by the grace of God, beloved. But most Baptists need to get saved. And so do most of these denominations, beloved, they need to get saved. They got a head knowledge, a lip service, and an empty heart. Jesus said, you must be born again. He told that to a very religious person. I'm leave a good man according to the flesh. And of course, so far as the flesh is concerned, there's none good, but I meant one who had good desires, one had good intention. A member of the Pharisees, a ruler, an elder, one of the members of the Sanhedrin court, one of the 70 elders, Nicodemus. And of course, he was lacking. He was empty on the inside. He even defended the Lord on one occasion and told the rest of those Pharisees and those leaders there, the elders, said, doth our law judge a man before we have a chance to hear him? Of course, they reviled him and rebuked him over that, but nevertheless, he came to Jesus by night. And I believe he got saved because we came with Joseph of Arimathea when he begged the body of the Lord Jesus from Pontius Pilate, and they gave him permission. He was along with him, bringing some oil on his body. I believe he got saved, but praise God, I believe he got born again, beloved, and was made a brand new creature. But just a religious lost Pharisee, one that had good intentions and tried to do well, tried to treat his neighbor well. One of the very few there, I believe, that was had a good heart and wanted to do the right things among those elders. He did, but of course he was empty, he was lacking, he was destitute of the truth. He knew there was something wrong, so he came to the right source. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus told him right away. So Nicodemus, verily, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can I be an old man enter again a second time my mother's womb be born? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm not talking about that. That's a water birth. That's a first birth. That's an earthly birth. You've got to be born of water, all right, and of the Spirit. You've got to experience the next birth. That's the divine birth. That's the Lord from heaven. You've got to have the Spirit of God born into your heart. There's got to be an operation of faith. That operation is performed, beloved, by faith. God takes his spiritual weapon, peace, being the Word of God. The Bible said the soul of the Spirit is the Word of God. He divides the Son, the soul, and spirit, joint and marrow, and gives the Son the very shaking intent and thoughty heart. You cannot, do not, beloved, really know your heart if the Word of God has not made it known to you. The Word of God is like a mirror, like a looking place. When we look into the Word of God, it beholds or reflects ourselves. We get to see ourselves, and if we'll just act on that, respond to that, beloved, and let God deal with us and bring all that dross to the top and repent of our sins and call on God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he'll save you just like you are. Beloved, he'll help you, he'll change you, he'll convert you, you'll get into the real body of Christ. And I'm not talking about not denomination, a lot of folk claim themselves to be the true church of God, apostolic faith and doctrine, and that's all right if you're saved. If you're not saved, you don't have anything. You're no more than a lost Baptist, beloved. You're just still a pitiful lost church member. Denomination is man-made, beloved. And of course, salvation is God-given. It's sent down from heaven. You've got to experience the new birth. If you get into the body of Christ, beloved, if you go to heaven, you'll have to know him personally in your own heart. Outside of him, beloved, just a figment of your imagination, you're still lost in sin. You'll have to experience a new birth, beloved. You'll have to repent of your sins, and when God gives you a place of repentance, you'll have to repent, call on him. If you do that, the work's done, the price is paid. It'll save you just like you're on. Your life will never be the same. Now, see, my time is just about going right to us now. Pray for us. God bless you, is our prayer in his name. Amen.